Ephesians, excuse me, Mark the 7th chapter, Mark chapter 7. Then we'll turn over to Ephesians chapter 4. And there's kids, we're having children's church today, and so they can be dismissed to that. Mark chapter 7, verse 20. You'll read, start in verse 20 and read through verse 23. It says this, and he said, "That which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceeds evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man." Let's pray. Father, once again, we open your holy word and introduce to the church another passage of Scripture to help them, to bless them, to reveal to them, Lord, things from your word. Anoint today, Lord, I pray, these lips of clay. Help us, Lord, to hear what the Spirit would say. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, Jesus wasn't just speaking of food that enter a person. He was getting a lot deeper than that when he said the words that he said here. You can't use this verse to justify any type of drugs or beverages or things that that's listed as sins. That's, you know, goes in and it comes out. It's not going to defile you. You can't use that to justify anything like that. But what Jesus was dealing with was the heart of a man, the heart of men. When we talk about heart of men, we're talking about men and women. You girls aren't excluded here. It's good for all of us. And he's talking about being separated to a life of salvation and fellowship with Jesus Christ through the blood, through being saved, born again. And he's talking about the sins that come from the heart of man, the things that you and I have been delivered from if you are a born-again Christian today. So the heart here that he talks about is the intellect, the emotion, the desire, the things of your hearts. An impure heart will corrupt one's thoughts, feelings, words, and actions. An impure heart will do that. So what's needed is a transformed heart, a changed man, a new transformed heart after the image of Jesus Christ. And so that's what he's talking about here, is things that defile the heart of man. I want to entitle this sermon today, Inside Out. Inside Out, for Jesus said, what comes out of a man defiles the man. While giving a missionary sermon, I should say, missionary Hudson Taylor filled a glass of water and placed it on the table in front of him. As he was speaking, he pounded his fist hard enough to make water splash onto the table. He then explained, "You will come up against much trouble, but when you do, remember what is in you is what will spill out." So we want to talk about Inside Out today for just a few moments. It's worth thinking about, isn't it? What's inside of a man? What comes out of you in times of trouble? What comes out of you when there's a difficulty, when there's adversity? What comes out of you? Are you really born again? And so when we're mistreated or when we're misunderstood, how do we respond? What's in a man's what comes out of the man. With loving, do we respond with loving words, kindness? Do we respond in that way, or are we inclined to retaliate in anger? It's difficult sometimes not to retaliate, but you got to understand if you're a born-again Christian, your life is different than just the common man out here on the streets who've never experienced Christ. I visited with a man briefly on Friday. I was driving up his road. It's a dead-end road, and I was going up this road, and he stopped, rolled his window down, so I thought, well, I guess he wants to say something to me. So I stopped, rolled my window down, and he just stared at me. And he goes, what are you doing, finally? I go, well, sir, I understand there's a house for sale at the end of this road, and I would like to look at it. And he just sat there for a minute staring at me. He goes, I own that house. Okay. It's at the end of this road, right? Yes. So I have to drive down the road to get to it, don't I? But then he proceeded to tell me a lot of stuff about himself and the house. But his words weren't pure. He used a lot of vile language. He didn't know who I deduced who I was, but it didn't make him no difference as the ex-pastor of Countryside Church. It didn't make him no difference as a Christian, because he wasn't one. So he just used the language. My point of this is this, not that he was a mean man. He was a very nice man when it was all said and done. He just was not regenerated. He had never been born again. So what was inside of him was what was coming out of him. So it was natural for him to use bad language, what we would consider as a Christian bad language. That was just natural. You understand? What's in the man's what comes out of the man, inside out. And so that's what I want to talk about today. When in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 25 through 32, we could go back further if we'd like, but it's 22 through 32 is where I'd probably like to start a reading here in just a moment. It's a stark contrast between what a person is before he is saved and what he is after he's saved. It's a stark contrast. It really tells you what you used to be and now what you're not. And we need to study this more often, probably just in our daily Bible study. We need to always keep in mind what we used to be and what we are now so that we don't revert back to what we used to be because there's times you're not praying like you should, you're not reading like you should, and you're not attending church like you should. And so if you're not careful, you get a little bit cold. You get indifferent. And so we need to rehearse once in a while what we're supposed to be and let Christ then, through the Holy Spirit, help us be what we're supposed to be. And so it's inside out. So we have an obligation as a Christian to live under the control of the Holy Spirit. You have that obligation. You should live under the control of the Holy Spirit at all times. And that control is evident by the way that you conduct yourself. The Bible calls it holy conversation. That don't just mean the way you talk. That means your whole lifestyle. The Holy Spirit should be in control of your entire lifestyle. And the way that you react in different situations should be under the control of the Holy Spirit. Now, I know we're human. I know we use that as a crutch a lot of times. I'm only human. But you still should stop and think about it before you speak and react to situations. It's easy to react negatively. Immediately after somebody's done you wrong. It's easy to lash out because that old flesh wants to rear up its ugly head and not be controlled by the Spirit. And when that happens, then it creates more problems, especially when you're a Christian, because if you're reacting that way to a non-Christian, they look at you and think, I thought you were a Christian. They always throw, not always, but oftentimes they'll throw that right back in you. I thought you was a Christian. You act like that and you're supposed to be a Christian. Well, if you hadn't aggravated me, I wouldn't have acted like that. However, I should be controlled by the Spirit of the Lord. So I need to stop, think, instead of immediately speak. And it's difficult sometimes. Believe me, I know. I'm human. I like to use that crutch too sometimes. Well, I'm only human, so I'm going to get you back, bud. No, you can't do that as a Christian. You got to stop and think about it. Am I controlled by the Spirit, or am I still controlled by my flesh? And so there's some things here we want to look at today. So how we react to different tests, maybe an embarrassing situation or it's suddenly thrust upon you, is a good test of how you've grown in grace. if you've been around this, been a Christian very long, you should react different than a newborn babe. Than a new Christian in Christ. Now some people have been around a long time. They're still newborn babes in Christ. They haven't grown up. I had a preacher. Oh, I won't tell that one. I already did something stupid today, so I won't say anything else silly. I'll try not to anyway. Anyway, I thought that's... Never mind. Number one, inside out. A Christian, number one, a Christian puts off the old man. He puts off the old man. Verse 22 of Ephesians, the fourth chapter. It says this, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust. The old man is corrupt according to deceitful lust. You're corrupt before you become a Christian. You're not what God wants you to be. You're not what you're going to become in Christ. You have this old flesh you're led by the pride of life, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes. That's just how you're ruled and you're reigned over by those things. The Bible teaches us that that's the way it is. And so that's how it is. So before you are regenerated, before you're saved, you don't do what God wants you to do. You don't walk in the Spirit. But when you become a Christian, you put off the old man, and you strive to do this. As you strive to do this, God will make it a reality. God will help you do that. He doesn't tell you to do something and not give you the tools to work with. He doesn't tell, it'd be hard to plant a garden if all you have is a garden hole. Now, it's a tool that you can use in the garden, but if you've got a piece of ground that hasn't been worked, and you go out there and try to plant a garden with just a garden hoe, you're not going to make very much progress. Now, you might get it done after a while, but the growing season probably going to be over with by the time you get all the grass out of your way and you get the ground tilled up enough to plant something. You can't do it. So God gives you the tools that you need to do whatever He asks you to do. So when we become a Christian, we put off the old man, we put on the new man. It's like taking off this jacket and I lay it aside because it's the old, and then I pick up the new man, put him on. Now I know it's spiritually speaking, but when you do that, you take off the old dirty, ragged clothes and you put on the new. Ronnie Hinson wrote a song. It's called Better Than New. Now you guys are new here, you don't understand. I quote a lot of Hinson stuff. I love the Hinson family. It's an old gospel, Southern gospel group, and I just love them to death and their music. So he sung a song, Better Than New. And when you get saved, you're better than new. You're just better because you took off the old, ragged, dirty, sinful clothing, spiritual clothing. You put on the new man. And so this describes our repentance from sin. We repent of our sin and we submit then to God to the point of true salvation. There's a lot of people in church today that have never truly repented. They go to church. They may even pay their tithe. They're fairly faithful, but they're unsaved. They're there, but they're not saved. And we've got a lot of new, and I'm hesitant to say much about any of the new type churches that we have, because a lot of them are reaching some people. And I visited with a man Friday night. Friday night, and he was talking to me. He's a business owner here in the area, and he was talking to me about some things. And he's talking about his daughter goes to a church at this place where I know the pastor's been an open adulterer for years. And he's saying, that's where my daughter goes, and she got saved there. So there's good can come out of that bad, but yet when you learn that it's that way, you should distance yourself from it. But he was just saying God uses, even because they preach the word, although they're not living it, that sometimes God uses that. And we come from a place years ago. We got back in church when we was about 20 years old, and we both, got away from God. We come back to the Lord. We was about 20 years old, and we went to a church come to find out our pastor was the same way. But we didn't know it. We weren't a part of the crew. We wasn't part of the group, and we didn't know what was going on. We knew there was something not quite right. And as I got closer to the Lord, I got nearer to getting out in the ministry. When I started in the ministry, the fact is, the Lord really started dealing with me. You need to leave. You need to distance yourself. So we started distancing ourselves from the church, and eventually we came out here. But we were getting ready to leave the church because God was dealing with me to distance myself from it. But there was ongoing adultery in the church. We didn't know about it. We were innocent. And the pastor would cover it up. Anytime there was a controversy or a scandal about to break, they'd come to the pulpit and they'd tell you, you're getting ready to hear some bad stuff about pastor. But let us tell you, it's not true. The devil's mad because the church is on the move. That's what they'd tell you. The church is on the move. We're reaching the lost, and the devil's got mad, so now he's going to attack. He's attacking our family. You can cover it up, and the innocents don't know. But God uses that sometimes. So you understand what I'm saying. But when you really, really, really get saved, you submit to God. Your formal man, the former self that was corrupt through deceitful desires, that old man is crucified and he dies out. And Peter said this in Acts 2:38. He said to them, "Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." So when you really get saved, you really repent from those things and you have a changed heart. You don't keep doing them willfully and constantly on purpose. You stop. It ends. Maybe you're still tempted, but you end it because you've been born again. Now, I know some don't like this, but it's the way it is. You repent and you're baptized in the Spirit in the name of Jesus for remission of sin, and you receive the Holy Spirit. And to repent means you had a change of mind and purpose, and you turn from that person of sin to a person of God. You turn from sin and you turn to God. He's able to save you to the uttermost, cleanse you completely. So without real repentance, there's no real conversion. If you don't really repent, you haven't been converted. You may be here today, but if you've never really repented, you're not converted. You're not a Christian. We put off the worn out, useless, unconverted, sinful nature that's corrupt by deceit. We put it off, and our salvation then is a spiritual union with Jesus Christ that can be described as the death plus the burial of the old self and the resurrection of the new self walking in newness of life. Better than new when you get saved. Everything changes. It's a new man, new life. New action, new attitude, because you got saved. Are you perfect? Probably not. Are you perfected in Christ? Absolutely. So there's no real conversion without true repentance. So a Christian puts off the old man. Secondly, we're renewed in the spirit of our mind. Verse 23 says that very thing. It says, "And be renewed in the spirit of your mind that you put off as you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." So you're renewed in the spirit of your mind. So salvation involves the mind, the center of thought, the understanding and belief, as well as motive and action. True repentance touches every area of your life. Every area of your life. It changes you. 2 Corinthians 10:5 tells us to cast down arguments in every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. So salvation involves us casting down every argument against Christ. Casting down everything that would separate us from the love of God. Bringing every thought into captivity. I mean, you have evil thoughts sometime. You capture them and you cast them down. You don't follow through on them. You capture them and cast them down. Say that I'm no longer this way. I don't live this way any longer. I don't think this way any longer. That's not my thought. That's not a pure thought. That's not a godly thought. So it's not my thought. We cast it down. And so it emphasizes the total destruction of the fortresses of human and satanic wisdom and rescuing us from the lies of carnality. Too many carnal Christians captured by the lies of carnality. And when you do that, when you get that way, you do things that are embarrassing. You do things that embarrass the body. You do things that would embarrass Christ. You do things that's totally against Him when you're captured by carnality. We need to cast it down. We have, with a renewed mind, cast out every thought, every idea, every speculation, all the reasoning, philosophies, and false religions that would barricade themselves against God and the gospel. That's why we need to read the Word of God. You don't know how to barricade yourself against some thoughts when you never read what the Word of God says concerning that. We justify things because we've never read it, or we refuse to believe it. But the Word of God has an answer for everything you would even suppose or think. It has an answer for it. So we cast these ideas down when they're ungodly thoughts or against the Word of God. And when a person becomes a Christian, God gives him a completely new spiritual and moral capability and a mind apart from Christ, that a mind apart from Christ could never achieve. It doesn't mean you're better than people on the street. It means you've been born again. It doesn't mean you look down on everyone you come across because they're not a Christian. It just means you're not better than them. You've just been born again. You have a renewed mind, a renewed spirit. You've been born again. And you look at them not with disdain or distaste. You look at them with pity and love that says, I want to help you find what I've got and learn what I've learned about God. That's why Brother Ladra said last week during a question and answer session that anybody, no matter what they're seeing, is welcome here in the church. Somebody asking, what about homosexuality? Well, they're welcome. People are welcome in the church. We don't condone their actions no more than we would an adulterer or a thief or a liar. But we welcome them because we're going to express to them the knowledge of Jesus Christ and teach them and present to them the gospel. That would save them, deliver them, change their minds. That's what it's all about. So God gives us a new heart, a new mind, a new philosophy, if you would, and that apart from Christ we couldn't have. I'm glad for that, aren't you? So we put off the old man, we are renewed in the spirit of our mind, and then we put on the new man. In Ephesians 4:24 it says, "And put that you put on the new man after which God is created in righteousness and true holiness." So the renewal of the mind is in salvation is not simply renovation of the spirit, of the character, I should say, but a transformation of the old self, of the old man, to the new self. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. I think the King James says creature. And old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. When you get saved, things change. And when the statement in Christ is significant, in Christ, if a man is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things, the old spiritual man has passed away. He's gone, he's dead, and he doesn't need to be revived. You're a new person in Christ when you become a Christian. You have the security in Christ that He bore in His body the judgment against our sin. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation, a new creature. Christ bore our sin on Calvary. He paid the price. The old song, I owed a debt I could not pay. He paid a debt He did not owe. He died at Calvary. I'm glad He died on Calvary for my sin. I'm glad He secured my salvation. I'm glad He survived. He satisfied God's wrath against my sin. He satisfied God's wrath against all sin when He died at Calvary. He took our place, all humanity's place. There's no sin that hasn't been touched at Calvary. No person that can't be cleansed by the blood of Jesus. No man that can't be transformed and made better than new by the blood of Christ. Nobody is beyond the blood if they'll accept the sacrifice of Jesus. Nobody. And so we have the security that he bore in his body, the judgment against sin. The believer's acceptance is in Christ, with whom God is well pleased. God is pleased with the sacrifice Christ paid. If any man be in Christ, you can't get saved outside of Christ. There's no salvation in any other name except the name of Jesus. You can't get saved by Muhammad. He's dead. Or Confucius, he's dead. Any other prophet or any other preacher or any other creature, they're dead. It's only in the name of Jesus that you can be born again. He's the only one that can pay the price. There's no other salvation, no other in any other name. There's no other roads to heaven. There's only one, and that's through Jesus. No door to walk through except the door of Jesus Christ. And you need to quit listening to those people who think there is. You got a lot of people on TV that think they know. Can I throw this out there? There is nobody in Hollywood that's ever done anything for me. They can't save me. They've never gave me any money. They've never bought me anything. They can't do anything for me. But Jesus Christ did everything for me when he hung on the cross of Calvary and willingly gave up his life that I might have life and have it more abundantly in him. I am in Christ today. So it's significant to us. The believer's future assurance in Christ, who is the resurrection to eternal life and the sole guarantor of the believer's inheritance in heaven. Jesus Christ guarantees our inheritance in heaven. Fact is, he told us he's going to go away and prepare a place for us that where he is, we can be also. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. One version says rooms. I like mansions better. However, I don't know what it's going to be, a standalone mansion, or if it's going to be one of them penthouse type deals, them $2 or $3 million jobs like in New York City. All I know is it's going to be good. It's going to sit by streets of gold. There's going to be walls of jasper, gates of pearl, a river of living water running through it, and Jesus will be the light thereof. And so I don't care what it is or where it's at, as long as I go there and I get to see Jesus. And he's the guarantor that I will be there one day because he paid the price. Amen. And I accepted that one day many years ago. So we're an active participant in the divine nature of Christ, the everlasting word, 2 Peter 1:4. He says, is by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So we have the Holy Spirit living in us. We have him living in us. Why? So we can escape the lust, the corruption that's in the world. And I know you're touched by it every day. I know you can be tempted by it every day. I know we're living life here on earth, and things aren't perfect here on earth, and there's temptation, there's trials, there's tribulation, there's things that go on in all of our lives, but we have to present ourselves to him. We have to make ourselves available for him. We have to let the Holy Spirit work in and through us. We have to let him convict us and not override that conviction. And let him help us be that holy person, that spiritual person that we're supposed to be. We're not holy in and of ourselves. It's through the blood of Jesus. It's by the Holy Spirit of God that you have been perfected today. And when God sees you, he sees the perfection of Jesus Christ, not your own perfection. So remember that today. We share the divine nature of God by this possession of his eternal life, the eternal life of Jesus. We're not little gods, by the way, but we're new creatures, new creations in Christ. I can't be God. I don't want to be God. I like to boss sometime, but I can't be a good boss. I don't know everything. God does. God does, Brother Ladra. He asked my wife and I be their eyes here looking at houses for them. And I think, dude, I don't want that responsibility. Because I don't know what your needs are. I don't know what you're looking for. But he said, well, I trust you. I thought, dude, you're making a mistake. I don't know what you want. I'm not that wise. He told me, I trust you. I trust your wisdom. Dude, you don't know me that well. You're going to be so shocked. But you know, God does. God does. We don't know it all. We think we do sometimes, but we don't know it all. But God does. God knows your heart today. He already knows every thought you're thinking right now. He knows how you're accepting or how you're receiving this message today. He knows what you're going to do with it. He knows whether you're just going to blow it off, another good message. All right, good thing. And you're going to forget about it by 3 o'clock this afternoon. Some of you will shake my hand today and say, well, that's a good message, Pastor. By the time you get out the door, you couldn't even give me the title. And if I'm not careful, I'll forget the title time I get home this afternoon too. But you know, we're new people in Christ. He gives us His divine nature to live for Him, to glorify Him, to uplift the name of Jesus. He doesn't want us to be corrupt. He's given us a divine nature. You see, we've escaped the corruption that's in this present evil world. The word corruption has the idea of something decaying or decomposing. You know, like the possum that tried to cross the road, and it's there now, and the crows and the carrion or the buzzards are trying to carry it off. And that just brought to mind, you know why the chicken crossed the road, don't you? To prove to the possum it could be done. We've escaped that old decaying, corrupting world that once was us. We're not corrupt anymore. We've escaped from the power which the rottenness of the world had over us through our fallen, sinful nature. We were not worth killing. We weren't worth dying for. But Christ loved us and died for us and created in us a new man. I'm glad for that today. So we put off the new man, we put on the new man, put off the old man, and we've been created according to God. In Christ, the old man no longer exists. I know you all look the same. Most of us, when we got saved, our countenance might have changed a little bit. There might have been a glow about us or something. Somebody says, boy, I can tell something's changed in you. But basically, when you look in the mirror, you still see the same person. You're still who you were physically, but inwardly, the old man is gone. The old sin has been forgiven. The man that used to exist is no longer there. The new self is created in the likeness of God. When God sees you, He sees Jesus in you. He sees the Holy Spirit work in you. He sees the newness in you. He sees what He has created within you. The spiritual man is changed. We still have this old flesh to deal with, and we still, as we get older, we have the hurts and the stuff that goes on. You know, you get older and you get aches and pains you never thought you'd get, and people, you hear the old folks talking about their pains, you go, I'll never talk about mine, I'm never going to have any. Then all of a sudden you hit 64 years of age and you have cancer, your legs start hurting, your wife's not as nice to you as she used to be. Okay, I just told a story. You understand? Things change all of a sudden. I declared over myself in prayer time and time again that I'd never have cancer. But I did. That doesn't change who I am in Christ. It just means my physical man's been attacked. It doesn't mean I have less faith or I'm not saved. just means I got attacked, and I'm an overcomer in Christ. And if that cancer would take me out, well, then it takes me out, and I'm in Christ. I mean, I don't want to die. I don't want none of y'all to die. But it happens. We're new men in Christ. The old man may die, the flesh man may die, but the new man's been recreated in Christ Jesus, and he never dies. He never dies. One day we go to heaven. So when we, fact is Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So I'm a new person in Christ. When we accept Christ for salvation, he spiritually participates. When a person does, we spiritually, or you spiritually, participate with the Lord in his crucifixion and Christ's victory over sin and death. You participate with him. You do your part in living for him. You separate yourself unto salvation or unto God. You separate yourself. You do your best to live for him. You won't always be the best at it, but you do your best to live for him. And but because your old self is dead, you've been crucified with Christ. The old man died and raised up a new life. The new man has the privilege of the indwelling Spirit of God in him, empowering him and living in him. I'm glad for the Holy Spirit, aren't you? I'm glad for the power of Christ that lives in me. I'm glad for the conviction that he gives me, the encouragement also that he gives me, the help and strength that he gives me to live for God, the manifestation of Christ's love in me through the Spirit of God because of his sacrificial death on Christ, on the cross. I'm glad that God then enables me to live for him. Gives me all, like I say, all the tools I need. So it's possible to live for Christ. It's absolutely possible. It's expedient that you do. Do your part to live for him. Because when you're truly born again, the Savior's love will transcend all other things. You'll love people when they're unlovable. You'll treat them right when they shouldn't be treated right. You'll respond in love when they are treating you ugly. You treat people different. You act different. What's on the inside comes out. On the inside, out. You respond in your trials with genuine patience and kindness. You just learn how to cope with what life presents to you. It's not always pretty. How many of you had a perfect life? Never had a death affect you. Never had a financial struggle. Never had a friend turn their back on you. Anybody? Anybody had a perfect life where never been sick one day in your life? Never had a car accident? Most of us, some of that's touched all of us at one time or another. Well, you don't respond in hate. You respond with faith. You respond with confidence that you've been born again, that Christ is still the lover of your soul. The Holy Spirit's going to take you through. You see, like a glass full of water, what's inside of us will spill out. If you're really born again, it'll spill out. It's going to show. Little poem here says, Lord, help me flee all sin and shame, lest I disgrace your holy name. And may I live so others see the Savior's love revealed in me. When trouble grows and problems come, your character will show inside out. What's on the inside of you is going to show. If you're a true born-again Christian, it's going to show from the inside out. What's on the inside is going to show up on the outside. And that's a lot more than the way you dress. It's a lot more than that. It's what's the character that's inside of you. The God that's in you will show on the outside. Would you stand with me?